This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The IRS apologizes for targeting conservative groups. We represented 27 of those groups. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Another breaking headline on Benghazi. The new report revealing the original talking points on that deadly attack underwent 12 revisions. 12 times.
So fast forward, Mr. Hicks, to the Sunday talk shows and Ambassador Susan Rice. She blamed this attack on a video. In fact, she did it 5 different times. What was your reaction to that?
I was stunned. My jaw dropped, and I was embarrassed.
The YouTube video was a non-event in Libya.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You were the highest ranking official in Libya at the time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And she did not bother to have a conversation with you before she went on national television?
No, sir. I asked her why the ambassador had said there was a demonstration when the embassy had reported only an attack.
And again, what kind of response did you get from Beth Jones when you asked that question?
The sense I got was that I needed to stop the line of questioning.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we will talk about those Benghazi talking points, 12 changes made before Susan Rice took to the talk show circuit, but this is breaking news. Maybe if you checked Drudge Report, you saw it as the top headline, and it's directly part of what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. The IRS has apologized this morning for targeting conservative groups. I'm going to read you from, this is from the Associated Press. The IRS inappropriately flagged conservative political groups for additional reviews during the 2012 election to see if they were violating their tax-exempt status. Organizations were singled out because they included the words, get this, in quotes, Tea Party or Patriot in their applications for tax-exempt status. Who said this? Lois Lerner, the head of the IRS tax-exempt organizations group. Okay, the head of IRS tax-exempt organizations did this morning at the American Bar Association meeting here in Washington, D.C. Here is the exact quote of what she said. That was wrong. That was absolutely incorrect. It was insensitive, and it was inappropriate. That's not how we go about selecting cases for further review. The IRS would like to apologize for that. Now, think about the last time you got an apology from the Internal Revenue Services. Now, why is this important for us, the ACLJ? We represented 27 of these groups in 18 states from across the country. 14 we've now gotten approved from the IRS. 8 have had their responses filed by us and they're pending review. And there's still one that we are just about to file. It took a year and a half for the IRS to respond. So I'm happy for the apology. You know, it shows when you're right, you're right. And when they're wrong, they are wrong. They're blaming a Cincinnati field office for that. Low-level workers is what they use. But, of course, low-level workers, nationwide issue. And it seems like a directive. I mean, the words Tea Party or Patriot flag all of those. And, in a sense, they got what they wanted because they tied these groups up in legal issues and reporting and did not approve their tax-exempt status, so they could not grow. Again, any group that had Tea Party or Patriot in its title. Now, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So on a day where the IRS apologizes, calling it insensitive, wrong policy. Again, let me read out to what they said. Absolutely incorrect, inappropriate. That's not how we go about selecting cases. So they apologize. We represent 27 of those clients at the American Center for Law and Justice. Benghazi, 12 talking point changes. 12 changes. A lot of words taken out like Islamic and terrorism. All those words deleted, of course. We'll talk about that when we get back. If you want to join our petition, 877-989-2255. You think this government's spinning right now? 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. 4 months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan. I'm going to go right to my dad, Jay Sekulow. We have got breaking news out of the IRS. If you check Judge Report, you may have seen it in the headline. The IRS has apologized for targeting conservative groups. I'm going to read from AP and go right to him. Quote, this was at the American Bar Association meeting here in Washington, D.C. today. Organizations were singled out because they included the words, get this, in quotes, Tea Party or Patriot in their applications for tax-exempt status. This was from Lois Lerner, who is the head of the IRS division that oversees all tax-exempt groups and organizations. In some cases, the groups were asked for their list of donors, which violates IRS policy, she said. Quote, that was wrong. That was absolutely incorrect. It was insensitive, and it was inappropriate. That's not how we go about selecting cases for further review. Now, just about a year ago in March, the head IRS commissioner, this is the head of the IRS, told Congress, March 2012, there's absolutely no targeting by the IRS. This is the kind of back and forth that happens to people who apply for tax-exempt status. He is now gone. His term ended in November. There's no actual commissioner. There's an acting commissioner now. And, Dad, they're blaming this on a Cincinnati field office for the IRS. Yeah. But obviously they knew that this statement today came out for a reason, and they knew, I think, that the lid was about to be blown off.
First of all, it's not only inappropriate. I was an IRS lawyer when I beginning my career, and it was unconstitutional. They didn't just ask for donor lists. They asked for mailings, events, who spoke, what was discussed. We filed massive numbers of protests with the IRS, which ends up resulting in this, quote, apology. We still have several cases pending, which they need to, and we are demanding that they issue the exemption for these groups immediately. But I want people to understand that the government was targeting organizations because of the name they used to describe the organization. And that should be sending shockwaves to every American to realize a government agency as powerful as the IRS could do that. And they were doing that. Now, we fought them back hard, and not only did we win, we've got this apology. But you know what? Apology's not good enough. People need to be held accountable. And we're going to be demanding accountability because, Jordan, let me tell you, and I know David and Ben are on the phone too, it wasn't one revenue agent out of Cincinnati. There were revenue agents involved in this from coast to coast.
Right. We represent folks, again, 27 groups. That encompasses over 18 states, 27 groups, 18 states, and they're blaming it on Cincinnati. And again, their commissioner for the IRS in March last year, 2012, so just a little bit more than a year ago, said absolutely no targeting was being done by the IRS. Now, today, the head of their tax-exempt organizations division at the IRS said not only were they targeting, they were doing things that were inappropriate and wrong, absolutely incorrect and insensitive. What was that? Asking for things like donor lists and what we just talked about, asking for every piece of statements you put out. I mean, every if there was a Facebook post in an update, they wanted every text put forward for them. They didn't want to do the research. They wanted it from these groups. And, Dan, let me go back to you on this, because they're admitting what they did now was wrong. And this is a big story on Drudge Report, and it's shocking in the sense that the words flagged were one of them was patriot in the United States of America. But in a sense, if the partisanship of the, whether it's this office, this agent, this division, was able to change the focus for these groups from on the election, which is what they exist for, and education tied to that, and taxes and issues like that, government spending, to having to deal with the IRS and having to go through this process, which is an intimidating process when you get these kind of questionnaires from the Internal Revenue Service. Not something Americans want to get in the mail.
No, and there were, I mean, we had hundreds and thousands of pages of response, but the initial thing we did was push back on the IRS under the First Amendment that said, basically, you've asked a series of questions that you have no right to ask. And we asked if this was a coordinated event, which they denied. So, Jordan, as you pointed out, the reality is here, there's testimony that goes back just a few months ago saying one thing, or, you know, a year, less than a year ago. And now you've got a situation where the reality is this was a targeted enterprise the entire time.
And again, folks, that they are denying, that they denied that they were doing any kind of targeting. And this is a developing story because it just happened here in Washington, D.C. Again, the IRS apologizing for targeting conservative groups. Not our headline. That's the Associated Press headline. IRS apologizes for targeting conservative groups. And this is a time when it seems like this administration is doing everything they can to keep things from being a bigger story. So here they try to blame it on one office. But we know that this was happening in at least 18 states. That's where our clients are from, the 27 clients we have, that were all targeted because they had the words Tea Party or Patriot somewhere in their application. I mean, that's even what they said is it didn't have to be your name, Dad. It could just be in your application.
Well, we raised this issue early on with the IRS, and they basically lied to us. And that's what the American people need to understand here. They lied to us. They said this was not coordinated, this was routine. And when I saw those questionnaires coming in from the IRS, I knew this was anything but routine. And I knew from my experience as a lawyer for the Treasury Department, for the Internal Revenue Service, that this was a coordinated attack on conservative groups as a basis of intimidation. But here is the good news. And again, it's because of our members out there that we thank so much for letting us do this. We pushed back, and we pushed back hard, and you got the head of the division going to the ABA meeting and saying, we were wrong. But, you know, again, it's an apology, and that's great, and they're going to correct it, but it should have never happened in the first place. But the good news is, when you push back against your own government, you can win, and we did here.
David, let me go to you. David French, senior counsel with ACLJ, because, David, there's obviously a reason, which we can only speculate on now, but why that the head of the tax-exempt organizations division of the IRS decided that at this ABA meeting they should come out with this full apology and very much a statement in apology, not something that was off the cuff. This was looks like fairly prepared remarks here, at least to address, something to make sure that they address, which means from the top, this was a coordinated response to maybe more information that we're going to see that about what this problem was and how early they knew about it.
A coordinated response after the election, I might add.
Sure.
I mean, this is something where there were congressional inquiries made months before the election, consistent denials of a problem, as Jay noted. But you know what this tells me is there is more here, because they're getting out in front of a story that was going to probably break whether they liked it or not. And so this apology gets them out in front. But as Jay was saying, it's not enough. I mean, at ACLJ, we have hundreds of hours of attorney time into these cases. The Tea Party group spent thousands of hours responding to these incredibly intrusive and sometimes unconstitutional requests, resisting them. And then now they're just going to say, what, we're sorry and we're going to let it all bygones be bygones? What difference does it make at this point? I mean, is that the message? No, we have to hold them accountable. We have to make sure everyone that's still pending is approved. And we have to find out what happened. There need to be hearings on this issue.
You know, we've already got coverage. The Washington Examiner has noted that our work, again, very quickly on what's happened with the IRS. And so, folks, we represent, again, let me just state, 27 of these groups in 18 states, the IRS apologizing to conservative groups. I'm going to take a phone call now. We've got some coming in about this. Leslie in Washington State, line 5. Leslie, welcome to JSECIO Live. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a very serious problem with the IRS being able to pursue any course of action at all without direct intervention and approval by the United States Congress and as a whole by the vote of the American people. The American people are supposed to be the ones responsible for any taxes, anything that's done by the IRS in relation to our money. And I think that the American people as a whole, by their direct vote, be it written, spoken, whichever, should be allowed to have a direct involvement in all matters regarding the IRS. They should not.
Well, remember, and since you do, Leslie, or you're supposed to, I mean, you're members of Congress, they write the law. The IRS is supposed to enforce the law, and they have to interpret it. I mean, part of the problem is the IRS has broad administrative interpretation power. The laws are, you know, one line of thousands of pages. Then they've got to figure out how to apply those one line. And you can see how that can be politically used here. But, and Dad, if you're still with us, I mean, a year in this process, a year. I mean, we had March 2012, the top IRS official in the U.S. government testifying to Congress that there was no targeting being done, that that was absolutely incorrect and inaccurate, telling members of Congress that. Now, that is before the election. And now, a little bit more than a year later, about 13 months later, you've got the head IRS person for the tax-exempt division apologizing.
Right, because they got caught. And the reality is they were caught because we knew in the beginning, Jordan, as we got those cases in, that this was a targeted attack by the Internal Revenue Service, specifically aimed at Tea Party and Patriot organizations. And if you had that as your key words, that was the basis upon which extensive reviews were taking place with intrusive questions. So they were wrong and they got caught.
You know, folks, we have got about 18 seconds set. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. Again, the IRS apologizing. The ACLJ, we exist to do this work. We represent 27 of those groups in 18 states. We're also working on Benghazi. Call now, add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-877-877-877. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I'm going to repeat this again in case you are just joining us. The IRS, this is from the Associated Press. It's the headline of Drudge Report. Just came out moments before we went on the air today. IRS apologizes for targeting conservative groups. The IRS inappropriately flagged conservative political groups for additional review during the 2012 election. Now, when are we, where, what date is it? Oh, yeah, it's 2013. It's after that election, right, when this apology comes, to see if they were violating tax exempt status. Organizations were singled out because they included these words, either Tea Party or Patriot, somewhere in their applications. In some cases, they got asked for their list of donors, which violates IRS policy. That was wrong. Now, this is from Lois Lerner, who is the head of the IRS Tax Exempt Organizations Division. That was wrong. That was absolutely incorrect. It was insensitive, and it was inappropriate. That's not how we go about selecting cases for further review. She said this at a conference sponsored by the American Bar Association. The IRS would like to apologize for that, blaming it on low-level workers in Cincinnati and saying it was not vote motivated by a political bias. Of course, could you imagine, folks, we discussed in the break, if the word liberal or progressive was used by the IRS in the Bush administration to flag groups, leading up to an election. So leading up to the presidential election 2004, flag all of the groups with maybe the word move on somewhere in their application, or progressive, liberal, ACORN, all those kind of groups, right? Flag all of them and hold them up in legal proceedings and getting these massive questionnaires from the IRS, hold them up, and keep approving everyone else, and then blame it on low-level staffers that were not politically motivated. I mean, they could have been honest about that staffer. Yeah. I mean, you would think that if they were going to blame the Cincinnati office or this person in Cincinnati for flagging these in 27 different states, by the way, that they would have also said that that person was acting wrong and it had a political bias. It was clear. I mean, groups don't have Tea Party in it that are liberal.
Well, here's the other thing. They keep saying, first of all, this was wrong. But the fact is, it was unconstitutional what they were doing and what they were asking for. That's number one. Number two, they're acting like some one revenue agent in some small office in Cincinnati decided to do this, which is absolute nonsense, because I got letters from Internal Revenue Service agents to our clients from all over the country. So you know what you've got here, Jordan, David, and Than? The government got caught. Why did they get caught? Because we put under an intense microscope of what they were doing. But they initially said, and this is what's important, and Jordan, I heard you said it earlier, they initially said a year ago, no, this is not politically motivated. And then a year later, apologizing, sorry. But key words with the IRS, and David, you know this as well in our legal work, the key words of what we're triggering them here, but we still have cases pending. And I am demanding today that the IRS stop the inquiry on these groups and grant their exemption. Enough is enough. We've spent thousands and thousands of legal hours defending these groups, which we're happy to do. But the fact of the matter is, I'm sending out a letter, a press release, actually, this afternoon, not urging, not encouraging, but demanding the IRS close the additional cases. I think we have another half dozen or so that are outstanding. Close them today, David.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, there's no other option. Close them today, and we need a full airing of this, because the idea that this is just a few low-level people in Cincinnati, especially after the IRS denied in response to specific congressional inquiries that anything was going on, how low will this administration go? I mean, we're looking at a scandal of the revised talking points for political reasons right in the run-up for election with lives are at stake. We're looking at the IRS targeting opposing groups in the months before an election. How low will they go? And I think we're going to be finding out more and more as this second term unwinds.
I just got word that I'm going to be on Fox News in a little bit on Megyn Kelly's broadcast on this. This is going to become a huge story, folks, and it's breaking as we speak. But again, what a big win. But again, demand the IRS. We are demanding that they close these additional cases out, Jordan.
Yeah, you know what? And folks, this is a time when the media focuses kind of attention, breaking news from the AP, probably not thinking they reported there that at the American Bar Association, this kind of apology from the IRS, which, Dad, from your work there at the IRS, your beginning of your career, IRS apology?
I didn't do a lot of apologies.
Sometimes they lose in court, but to actually apologize for a policy is different than, you know, not winning something that they're arguing in court.
It's a different administration at the time when I was with Treasury. It was during Ronald Reagan's tenure. But needless to say, this is unprecedented, I think, clearly. And the reality is, and I think we've got to be clear here, the IRS was attempting to get away with, and that's the problem, a constitutional violation, and they got held accountable today.
You know, folks, I'm going to go right to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us. A lot of news here. Let's go to Alan in Texas, line 4. Alan, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
How you doing, guys? I just want to say a comment, and I'll hang up. You know, the IRS, they kind of stooped on themselves by saying they hired these, they're blaming on these low-level workers. Well, who trained those low-level workers?
First of all, they're not low-level workers. This whole thing has to stop. These are trained Internal Revenue Service agents, and they're supposed to be aware of what the law is. They are trained to be aware of what the law is, and they violated it. They knew that they could not ask for those membership records. They asked for it. They knew they could not ask for who the contributors were. They asked for it. They knew they could not ask for who did you meet with and what did you say, but they asked for it. They knowingly and intentionally violating the law. An apology, while it's wonderful, that's not what's supposed to happen in our system of justice. They need to be held accountable, those agents that did this, and we're going to demand that that take place, too.
Let's go back to the phones. Mary in Texas, line 3. Mary, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yeah, kind of on those same lines. I mean, they apologized. They broke the law. Why isn't anybody proceeding with criminal charges? And all the money that these organizations had to waste on court fees and attorney fees, and you guys have spent millions of dollars on it, they should have to reimburse you with damages for all the money and time that they've wasted for you and for all the other organizations. I mean, it's unconstitutional. It's against the law. Why do they just get to say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we won't do it again and blame it on somebody else? They need to be criminally prosecuted.
Well, I think that the reality is that we're gonna fight back. You're not going to get a criminal prosecution here. But, you know, justice here, David, is going to mean that the IRS is held accountable in some way.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, for a trip down memory lane, I mean, here's some of the things that they were asking. Again, in the run-up to an election, do you directly or indirectly communicate with members of legislative bodies? How does your organization solicit members? What questions are asked of specific members? Describe any relationship with any candidate for public office. I mean, this is trying to dissect the Tea Party in the middle of an election season. It's astonishing. And this was not just some low-level employee run amok. This was 27 groups that we represented across 18 states.
And I think the reality is, Jordan, that the fight continues here. And we're going to be taking everybody's calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And I know we're trying to get an answer to the Benghazi cover-up. We now got an answer to the IRS one. Well, let's get an answer to Benghazi. You could add your name to that petition by going to aclj.org. Folks, it worked on the last one. We got the IRS to apologize. Let's see if we can get the answers on Benghazi. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And we encourage you, I'll be on, as I said, Megyn Kelly's broadcast tonight, and it looks like Hannity as well. So 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Back with more in a moment.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We'll be right back.
going to keep taking your phone calls now. The AP breaking news here on Jay Sekulow Live. IRS apologizes for targeting conservative groups. Now, you know, you think about the conspiracy theorists out there in the world. You read the Benghazi news 12 times. They edited those and cleaned those talking points, basically scrubbed them for any references to terrorism and Islam and coordinated and planned. And made it look like this street protest in Libya because of a video that people were upset about in Cairo. And then you get this AP headline, the IRS apologizing for targeting conservatives during the 2012 election. Here's the problem with the apology. It comes months after the 2012 election. And folks, this is a little bit more than a year after the head of the IRS said that they were not targeting people. Now, why are we talking about it? We represent 27 of the targeted groups who had the words Tea Party or Patriot somewhere in their tax-exempt organization application. So, we're going to get right to your phone calls now. Aaron in Colorado, on line 5, has been holding. Aaron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, Aaron.
You know, I am a lover of the Constitution and your work, and I really appreciate the things you do. There's all this talk about it, constitutional, and I agree. I was just wondering if you could enumerate how, you know, what specific clauses, how this...
Sure, Aaron, and thank you for your phone call. You know, we just sent out our press release, and we mentioned that in the headline of the press release. First, you've got freedom of speech. This would be considered a speech right. And, of course, that ties into the First Amendment, those have First Amendment right, of course, and the First Amendment right to peacefully assemble. So the Founding Fathers acknowledged through the First Amendment and in our Constitution the important role of people assembling. Now, they were, of course, talking about, you know, to be able to assemble, to petition the government, to have freedom of speech and press. And here, the IRS is admitting to specifically targeting people that had the words Tea Party or Patriot in their application. Now, here's where they go typical government. After acknowledging that and apologizing for it, Aaron, they then say it wasn't politically motivated. Now, the only words that were flagged were Tea Party and Patriot. So they are acknowledging the constitutional violation and the legal violation, which is the, again, freedom of assembly and, of course, right to free speech. And then also there's the due process rights in the 14th Amendment that applies, of course, and the Fifth Amendment right to due process. It applies to the federal government very clearly. And so when you look at due process and when you look at freedom of speech and you look at freedom of assembly, all of those implicated here. And, of course, how do you redress this when you're admitting to doing this before the election? I mean, they are literally saying that this happened in the lead up to the 2012 election, but they are saying it had nothing to do with politics. Tea Party and Patriot. That's where they always, even when they admit that they were wrong and that they were doing something inappropriate, they won't go the full step and actually apologize for everything they did. And, David, this ties into the narrative of, you know, this administration basically never one, even when they look like they may be admitting to wrongdoing, it never goes to the full extent. And it was a year, it was a cover up that lasted through a key time, the election.
It's starting to sound depressingly familiar, isn't it? I mean, here we have a key series of organizations, and many of them in swing states, I might add. And one of our bigger clients was in Ohio, of all places, and they're targeted. The administration denies it consistently, denies any kind of cover up, denies wrongdoing, and then he wins re-election. Oops, our bad. We're sorry. We didn't mean to revise those talking points so inappropriately. We didn't mean to target these groups. That's inconsistent with our values. Really, we're not buying that.
You know, folks, let me tell you something. We are going to continue to talk about this. We've got a lot more of the show coming up. And we're also, of course, covering Benghazi, what's happened at the Pentagon with the religious advisory. I mean, there is so much to talk about that the administration is at the forefront of. The IRS is under the executive offices of the president. Okay, this is part of the president of the United States, the executive branch, okay, the Department of the Treasury. Then you've got, of course, Benghazi. That's the State Department really at play here, and also Department of Defense and the White House National Security Council. And then, you know, you have these issues of a extremist advising the Pentagon on religious freedom. We're going to be talking about all of it. Folks, if you want to join our petition, call now, 877-989-2255. That's on Benghazi. We'll be right back.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Well, day one of the hearings about the attack on the Benghazi consulate are in the books, folks, and there is a lot to get to. A lot of new information has come out as a result of the hearings. Actually, shortly before we went on air, Speaker John Boehner went before the media and actually demanded more documents. He wants to see the emails that have not been disclosed to the public that members of Congress have seen, but actually that revealed just how high in the State Department this cover-up went. And, folks, I think it's fair to call it a cover-up at this point. I was in meetings this morning and was actually telling folks, I think 99% of the facts are in on this case. The question is just how many of those facts are they going to let the American people see? I think that's the core question that remains. Folks, in the remainder of this segment of the broadcast, I want to play for you an excerpt from our DVD documentary, The Export. The idea here, folks, is we want you to get up to speed on the dynamics of radical Islam and the fact that it is being exported across the globe. You know, if we don't get educated, if we don't know how to stop this export, we are just going to see more and more situations like Benghazi. We have to know the truth. We have to know how to stop this threat. We want you to get informed. Let's go ahead and play this this excerpt from The Export.
Hamas in Gaza receive support from the Iranians. They receive training from the Iranians. They receive equipment from the Iranians, but they're not Shiites, they're Sunnites.
And there's a mistake, a wide mistake, of identifying Iran with the support of only two Shiite jihadist groups. This is the bridge between Shiite and Sunnite. They do not, or they were able to export support to Sunni groups like Hamas or like Palestinian Islamic Jihad, in spite of the hatred between these two streams in Islam. As long as you have a common enemy, the United States or Israel, Iran sees no problem with supporting Sunni groups as well.
They never ever abandon this dream to the way they call it, to send us to the sea, to swim, so that we will leave this area.
From Hamas, you hear that it's a religious commandment that Israel should not exist, that a non-Muslim state cannot be here. If this has the upper hand, this trend, it's going to be tougher. This layer of religious fanaticism on top of political debates makes debates almost without a resolution. Because, you know, gods never compromise. People do. Right. If you get it from God that you can't have an enemy alive, then what hope that we have. So I think it's the interest of really world order that this new trend of making everything religious commandment and the fanaticism that goes with it loses this fight.
First, very basic and fundamental question.
Is there a war going on with Iran right now?
This is the longest ongoing war in the Middle East. It has been taking place since Ayatollah Khomeini took over the Islamic Republic of Iran in the 1st of February 1979. It has been going on every day until this minute. Under the public's radar, nobody knows the full details of that, but from almost day one, the Islamic Republic of Iran tried to obtain nuclear weapon and tried to export the revolution to proxy jihadist movement in the Middle East, trying to imitate the genius in the revolution of Khomeini to other places. And at the same time, the secret services of the United States and Israel declared war on Iran, and this is the clandestine war between these two forces.
Iran was a free country. One has to remember, under the Shah, very advanced, very Western, very scientifically very impressive. It was taken over by this regime of fundamentalism, and really black night came over Iran. So definitely America stands and works for the values that Iran is against. But there's a special role for Israel here. Iran uses rhetoric that we haven't heard for decades. Eliminating Israel. Israel should not exist. Has no right to exist. Israel, I quote, is a cancerous tumor that should be removed from the Middle East. It's said again and again. So when you see a country that says you are not legitimate, you will not exist in the end of the game here, and we go nuclear and involved in terror like no other country, to put it in an understatement, it's a cause for concern.
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
But it's interesting in a way, you see, let me go one step deeper. Sure. The paradigm that we knew was the paradigm of nation states. Israel is a Jewish state, they are Arab states. Now you see a religious approach. They speak not in terms of political dialogue with Israel, what the borders should be, what this policy should be, but they speak of illegitimacy in the name of God. From Iran, from Hezbollah, and from Hamas, you hear that it's a religious commandment that Israel should not exist, that a non-Muslim state cannot be here. If this has the upper hand, this trend, it's going to be tougher. This layer of religious fanaticism on top of political debates makes debates almost without a resolution. Because, you know, gods never compromise. People do. Right. If you get it from God that you can't have an enemy alive, then what hope do we have? So I think it's the interest of really world order that this new trend of making everything religious commandment and the fanaticism that goes with it loses this fight.
I don't have to be a scholar. You know, you just read Ahmadinejad's own speeches, you read their philosophy, you read their comments that they're making in public speeches in the Iranian press and international press, and it's clear. Their intention is right there. They're saying it explicitly.
Israel, you have said time and again, Israel must be wiped off the map. Please explain why.
I think that the Israeli government is a fabricated government.
فریاد میزنند مرگ بر اسرائیل.
The statements that they make that comes out of Ahmadinejad, which is approved by the Ayatollahs, if not written by the Ayatollahs, about Israel being a cancer that needs to be removed, Hamas saying this, and Israel needs to be destroyed. Is there any doubt in your mind that when they say that, that Israel should be wiped out, that they mean it?
I don't have the luxury not to believe it. It was a mistake that we made in our history where we thought Yeah, they only say, they don't mean it. How can they really do this thing like this? Can they really eliminate the people? Can they destroy people? Can they build extermination camps? Well, we don't take things easily anymore.
How significant is the conflict with radical Islam?
Radical Islam intends that all of us live under Sharia law. The enemy is radical Islam.
If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others.
The moment the Iranians have nuclear weapons, they have a nuclear umbrella over their international terrorist capability.
That is a formula for insecurity.
And I'm telling you, target number one is Israel. The Israelis cannot abide that. It is truly an existential threat.
Peace can reign only when everybody comes under the umbrella of Islam.
These 40,000 rockets and missiles on the border with Lebanon could, you know, be sprung and fired against Israel.
The more we have nuclear proliferation in the world, the more the risks are that there will be the availability of nuclear devices, the lethality of which is mind-boggling.
On every September 11, they fire rockets into Israel. Why? To commemorate 9/11.
A proposal to build a mosque and Islamic cultural center near Ground Zero generating a lot of heat at a hearing in New York City. Opponents want to give landmark status to the 150-year-old building, which would essentially prevent the mosque and center from being built.
They don't want to just take this building and turn it into a mosque. They want a memorial. They want a monument.
A monument, a tower of triumph. That's what they want to build, called Cordoba.
Cordoba is the symbol of them conquering Christian land. I mean, that was not by accident.
They want America to be a Muslim nation.
This is a march of Sharia through our institutions. And what they're trying to do is see how far they can get before there is pushback. And as long as there's not pushback, they'll keep pushing.
If the mosque were allowed to go up and did go up, what symbol does that send?
We might as well just throw the Constitution away.
If we care about remaining the United States that I think we want to remain, we have to pay very close attention to this.
The war on terror is a war that has to be won every day.
Again, folks, those are excerpts from our new DVD documentary, The Export, but we need you to stand with us. Tell the Obama administration to tell the truth. Just give the facts to the American people. Call now. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. A huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Hey, in just a minute, we're going to come back to this unfolding scandal, the Benghazi attacks, the ensuing cover-up. And folks, I think it is just a fact now. This is a cover-up. This is a Washington scandal of great proportion. I'm actually going to walk through some of the timeline of these changing talking points, the fact that it sure looks like the White House and the State Department deliberately passed along false information, lies to the American people. I'm comfortable calling it at this point. I'm going to actually lay out some of these facts. We're going to post them at ACLJ.org as well. But before we get to that, I want to keep you updated on another story that we've been working on that we have brought to you in recent days, this story of the Pentagon meeting with Mikey Weinstein in order to develop policies related to religious freedom. Of course, this is a guy who has spent his entire career trying to stamp out any instance of faith, any chance of religion in the military. He is someone who has called Christians monsters, among other things. Frankly, folks, the things that he has called Christians are far worse than that. That's just the one that I'm comfortable saying on the air to you. But this is a man who hates people of faith, plain and simple, and yet our military has met with him to develop policies along the lines of religious freedom. Jordan had a chance to go on CBN News. This aired today, and I wanted you to get a chance to hear this update from him. So again, this is Jordan on CBN News. Let's go ahead and roll it.
The American Center for Law and Justice is calling on the Pentagon to cut ties with an anti-Christian extremist. Atheist Mickey Weinstein recently met with high military officials as an advisor on religious tolerance. Weinstein also has a long track record of attacking Christians using words like monsters, hate groups, and diehard enemies of the Constitution. He even compared military Christians sharing their faith to spiritual rape, calling it a form of treason. Weinstein said officers who do that should face a court-martial. Jordan Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice joins us now. Jordan, these statements are so extreme. Who is this group and this guy at the top?
Well, Mikey Weinstein is a Air Force Academy graduate. He served our armed forces, and for that, you know, we're thankful for his service. That doesn't mean, however, that he's qualified or the right person in any means to be advising the Pentagon on religious affairs. Let me point out two things off the top. First, Mikey Weinstein has an organization called Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He talks tough. You just said that from some of the nasty things he's called Christians, and he's even said that he'll fight to the death if he has to religious intolerance here in the United States. I mean, what a joke. What fight is that? But second, go look on his website. I mean, you'll never find it because it's not there. Any victories he's had, he hasn't won anything. And the fact is, the reason why he hasn't won anything is because the problems he's talking about are made up. There are issues here and there, but nothing that's been actionable legally. So for someone who talks such a big game, maybe he should go to parts of the world where religious persecution is real, because in the United States, to use that word persecution is a bit extreme. And then, of course, what he calls Christians just makes it wrong. He is the intolerance that he condemns.
Okay, especially for those of us who cover this on a daily basis. Who has this guy been meeting with at the Pentagon, and why are they listening to him?
You know, he has been meeting with their press team, their legal team. And we've had some issues with the military when it comes to military chaplains. Let's not forget that. When we have had issues with chaplains having the ability to do their job as their faith dictates, we've had to go to the top through the Air Force, the Navy, and also at DOD and the Pentagon. They make their general counsel's office comes up with regulations that identify what is and what isn't appropriate. And this is how I think muddled the issue has become. The Department of Defense has said it's okay to evangelize, but not proselytize. Now, you don't even talk about splitting hairs, because if you look in the dictionary, evangelize and proselytize are synonyms for each other. You can use words, switch them out. And to act as if military members are supposed to understand the difference there or somehow define that, this is exactly what Mikey Weinstein wants.
Well, General Jerry Boykin has said that he believes there is an agenda here to remove Christianity from the military altogether, and that people behind it feel the Obama administration is sympathetic to their goal. What's your take?
Well, Mikey said that. You know, Mikey Weinstein, who has not had success in court, has had success in the mainstream media, and has said that this administration more secular than ever before. He's got the Air Force Academy, his kind of home base, and probably the one with the most trouble that's been caused for Christians, the most confusion, adopting an uncomfortable standard. Now, that is a standard that is not applicable in law. So, again, this is very real. He's using the Obama administration's endorsement of secularism to try to push his message.
Real quick, you're calling on the Pentagon to cut ties with this group. Have you had any response?
You know, the Pentagon has been backpedaling since this became a story, and I thank the other organizations as well, the CBN, for covering it. And I do think that as long as we push, they just need to stop being afraid of Mikey Weinstein. He says mean words, but he doesn't back it up with any action in court. You know, he's not successful, so you're going to have to put up with his words, but that doesn't mean you have to meet with him or kowtow to him.
Indeed. Jordan Seculo of the American Center for Law and Justice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Efren.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on CBN News from this morning. We'll keep you updated on that story. Listen, to close out the broadcast, I want to come back to this issue of the evolving talking points in the wake of the Benghazi attacks and how exactly we ended up at a point where the American people were told a lie. Frankly, folks, and who was responsible for that. So I'm going to walk through some of the timeline that we know and how those talking points came to be. And in order to set this up, I want to play for you some testimony from the hearing this week. Greg Hicks, the second in command in Libya, he was actually stationed in Tripoli, worked directly with Ambassador Stevens. This is Congressman Trey Gowdy and a series of questions that he asked of Greg Hicks. I want you to listen to his response. This is Bite 7.
So fast forward, Mr. Hicks, to the Sunday talk shows and Ambassador Susan Rice. She blamed this attack on a video. In fact, she did it five different times. What was your reaction to that?
I was stunned. My jaw dropped, and I was embarrassed.
Did she talk to you before she went on the five Sunday talk shows?
No, sir.
You were the highest-ranking official in Libya at the time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And she did not bother to have a conversation with you before she went on national television?
No, sir.
Folks, that is Greg Hicks, second in command in Libya, the highest ranking official after Ambassador Stevens was killed. He testified that it was abundantly clear to everyone on the ground immediately as these attacks were occurring that it was terrorism. He reported that is what he told the State Department. That is what he reported to Washington, D.C. He testified that the YouTube video that was eventually blamed was a non-event, that they were not aware of it, and yet Susan Rice went on the talk shows and blamed a YouTube video for these attacks. Folks, I am holding in my hands, and we're posting this at ACLJ.org, the timeline of these evolving talking points. In the first draft of these talking points, there are about 75% of the talking points are focused on terrorism. They're focused on Al-Qaeda. They're focused on Ansar al-Sharia, the terrorist group that claimed responsibility for these attacks. And we know through a series of emails that involved Victoria Nuland from the State Department and Ben Rose from the White House, the Deputy National Security Advisor, that those references were removed at the objection of the State Department. Folks, it could be nothing but a political consideration. I want you to go to ACLJ.org. I want you to look at these evolving talking points and see that all references to terrorism were deleted at the behest of the State Department. Folks, this story is far from over, and I think we're going to hear from Secretary Clinton again before it's all said and done. If you want to see the truth come out, we need you to call now, 877-989-2255. Don't let these four Americans have died in vain. Don't let their story be covered up. Call now, 877-989-2255.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.